Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. I'm John Hockenberry. It's a meeting both substantive and symbolic. President Obama and his entire family touched down in Moscow early this morning. The president sat down with Russian President Dmitry Medvedev. This is his first full-fledged summit since 2002, when President Bush famously looked into then-President Vladimir Putin's eyes and saw his soul. This time around, the White House is stressing other goals, leading with soft power, leading with diplomatic tools in world affairs. That's part of what this meeting is about. And also using leverage with a cooperative arrangement between the U.S. and Russia to affect things in Iran and Afghanistan. To see whether that's possible, we turn now to former U.S. Ambassador to Russia and career diplomat Thomas Pickering, currently co-chair of the International Crisis Group. Ambassador Pickering, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Let's talk first about the model that these two leaders apparently are going to be using to make progress on an issue of mutual concern, strategic warheads and strategic missiles, and trying to reduce their numbers using the old START. I can't even remember what that acronym stands for anymore. It comes from the Reagan era, but it's the last arms control.
Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty.
Right, yeah. Arms Reduction Treaty, exactly. First of all, what do we make of resurrecting START as a way to move forward?
Actually, this is prolonging START. START runs out on December 5th this year. Without it, we would have no agreement. We'd have no inspection, and we'd have no reliability, and security would not be enhanced. So the first stage was, let's prolong START. Then the second stage was, let's combine that with improving START and see if we can reduce more below the 1,700, the 2,200 to 2,000 to 1,700 warheads we agreed to in 1994 in the Moscow Treaty. And so it's really a two-stage effort now combined. The general prognosis is that they will shoot for somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500, but we don't know until they announce that. And the hope is that that will also result in improving, maybe simplifying, some of the negotiating and some of the complex counting arrangements that take place under START that relate to both warheads and delivery vehicles.
Now, some of the critics of the Obama administration have already described this effort as essentially pulling numbers out of a hat. And John Bolton, the former UN ambassador, had this to say about even getting into the business of reducing strategic nuclear weapons. I wonder if you could react to this. Hold on.
Remember, the Russians don't have any allies that they protect with their nuclear weapons. We have our NATO allies. We have Japan, Australia, and a range of others around the world. Shrinking our nuclear umbrella actually lessens security for many of our friends around the world.
Now, Ambassador Pickering, John Bolton would have us believe that the U.S. nuclear weapons right now are viewed by NATO countries and Japan and Australia as a nuclear umbrella that protects them. Is that your view?
In part it is, but it's passing strange that John should come up with that argument since he led the work at the Moscow Treaty in 1994 to reduce down to 1,700. And to some extent, obviously, lower numbers obviously create different sorts of problems, but that was not his argument. The argument, I think, is fundamentally whether we and the Russians deter each other at lower levels of weapons, and I think the general feeling is that people are reasonably comfortable about this getting down below 1,700. There is now a nuclear posture review going on in the administration to decide basically how some of these particularly difficult questions will be answered over the future. But those who believe, as the president seems to, in moving down towards zero, feel there's a path through this as we move down in numbers. We move down in numbers that are roughly parallel. At the moment, in terms of total weapons, the Russians have more than we do. And so if John is right, then we should be seeking to find equal numbers of weapons over a longer period of time rather than continuing to permit unequal numbers. And that would, in fact, enhance our capacity to deter Russia, and that would, in fact, help us to protect our friends and allies.
Ambassador Pickering, a year ago at this time, we were weeks away from the crisis over Georgia. The Russians invaded. There was harsh language from the then Bush administration. A U.S. election has occurred. The Russians withdrew, and now that's very much in the distance. Do you think that President Medvedev benefits from even standing near Barack Obama, who has a huge international profile way outside of President Medvedev? And does that asymmetry help Obama or hurt him in Russia?
I think it helps the president. It may help President Medvedev, and it may also help Prime Minister Putin, who is a very, very important decision maker in Russia. Perhaps, in the view of many, even still more important than President Medvedev. That particular question of who helps who the most, however, is less relevant, in my view, than what the two can do together. And it appears as if they're going to do something on nuclear disarmament. Let us hope that they can do something as well on missile defense, where the Russians have recently said that while missile defense plays a role in making decisions on disarmament, they're not actually coupling the two in a kind of iron lock so that the United States would either have to give up missile defense or do something else. And in fact, we see some serious interest on the Russian part in cooperative missile defense, something that began under the first George Bush and seemingly never really prospered, but each side continued to have some kind of latent interest in the issue. And the fact that President Obama arriving on the scene with all of his popularity puts him in a very strong negotiating position, in my view, and in a very strong position, in fact, to help move Russia along. And he will give a critical speech during his visit to Moscow to a wide Russian audience that I think will also be one of the critical testing points for this particular visit.
Finally, I want to get your sort of personal reaction to, I guess, what I would call the whipsaw of history. I mean, you were a prominent diplomat at the time when the U.S. and Russia were at Soviet Union were at odds over the situation in Afghanistan. It's likely that there may be some official agreement on cooperation over military cooperation over the situation in Afghanistan. My, how things change.
I think that's right. I think that the U.S., interestingly enough, Russia, and perhaps others like Iran have common interests in Afghanistan. That's not to see al-Qaeda win, not to see the Taliban prosper, to see the government move ahead in a way that is perhaps more broadly accepted than it has been. And while we have gotten permission for NATO to send non-military equipment to Afghanistan through the Russian and the associated transportation system in Central Asia, this new effort may well include also military lethal equipment that's currently not there, and that would, of course, put us closer together. But we have to remember back in 2001 and 2002, when among the first to call President Bush was President Putin, who, in effect, agreed to try to help us establish bases. He thought they would be temporary in Central Asia to support our efforts in dealing with the Taliban in Afghanistan after the 9/11 attack. So there has been some history of this. This is not an entirely new effort, but it looks as if it would mark a period of getting over what diplomats would tend to call the scratchiness of the Bush-Putin period.
Right. And I guess, as you say, the takeaway here is, can that cooperation become a real progress engine for regional issues with Iran in particular? And,
yes,
of course, Afghanistan is already on the table. And Ambassador Thomas Pickering, we're going to have to leave it there. But
Korea, too, there, John.
Indeed, very
Thank
much.
You.
Ambassador Thomas Pickering, former U.S. ambassador to Russia and to the United Nations, co-chair of the International Crisis Group. Thank you, Ambassador.